Our Lord, we desperately seek to be able to use our trust in you to cope with life as we encounter it. We want to be able to radiate that peace, that joy, that freedom that comes from being confident an all-powerful Heavenly Father is watching and keeping us no matter what's happening in our lives today. And so I pray that in these next few moments, those of us who are worriers, filled with anxiety, buffeted by stress, might have such an encounter with you that our lives will be changed. Reveal yourself to us, O God, so that you become so big, our problems no longer dominate our lives. To that end, we offer our prayers in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. In his book, Generation to Generation, Edwin Friedman urges us to maintain what he calls a non-anxious presence when confronted by stressful situations. I'm absolutely convinced that trusting God should be giving us as Christians this resource we're calling for today, a non-anxious presence as you confront whatever is causing stress in your life today. Unfortunately, and this is why we deal with the text, for many of us, the facts are our faith isn't working. Anxiety, chronic fatigue, frustration, anger, desires to just chuck it all are daily companions for far too many of us, if we're honest. Too many Christians are falling into a survival mode, but they're not really living that abundant life that Jesus came to share with those who would choose to follow him. I feel it's time for us to really come to terms with this truth. Following Jesus must give us something far more than simply survival of the rat race. Our text, therefore, offers wisdom about how trusting God can do so much more, how it can relieve stress, restore joy, and give us an inner peace that makes life worth living. First, as we penetrate the wisdom here of this text, I want to suggest that when tough times come, rather than just be consumed to burn up with stress, an alternative is to rejoice in the nearness of God, knowing he's going to help us. Absolutely convinced he's going to help us. Listen as we read. It tells us, and it's a commandment, rejoice in the Lord always. And I'll say it again. He's really making a point. Rejoice. Let your gentleness, which I'm calling your non-anxious presence, be evident to all. Why? Because the Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. It's interesting. Paul's talking in superlatives here. First, it's a commandment. It's not an option. Applies to all Christians. And it's saying that because our God is near, we should not be anxious about anything. That's all inclusive. Well, then the question emerges, why do we still suffer stress? Well, could it be that we are so focused on convincing God to give us what we want that we become blind to the immeasurable value of what he's already given, namely his nearness? Could it be our stress is related to our having ceased to value our accessibility, the nearness of God, and to having reduced God to what I'm calling today a dispenser of divine services? Is your God's sole purpose to solve your problems and satisfy your desires? Now that takes some honest introspection. But I'm convinced that the key to our stress is that we have ceased to appreciate this nearness of God that we're commanded to rejoice in. And God is nothing more than a vending machine to give us what we want when we want it. Let me illustrate. An elder the other morning was asking the session, where do you think the point of vulnerability is for our church? And most of us thought, probably affluence. I'm convinced the leading cause of stress for many of us is related to making, spending, and investing money. Now, whenever we mention that, you expect us to therefore say something about the budget. I'm not saying anything about that today, so please listen. Here's our problem. We say we trust God, but many of us, even as Christians, really trust money. And we attempt to use God to make more money. And we think money can fulfill us, but it can't. The Bible says money is addictive. The more we have, the more we think we need, and the less we are able to share. Studies have shown the more money people acquire, the less they give away. As our addiction to money grows, so does our stress. After years of climbing higher in a prestigious stock brokerage firm, a Christian was named manager of a big office. He had waited all his life for this position. But after 2 years, he was stressed out like never before. His health began to break down. He began praying about his job. He began looking at the job not only from his own perspective, but from God's perspective. And he asked, "Is this what life is really all about?" And for him, God led him to decide no. So he quit. And he took a position with less pay, less prestige, less responsibility, and less stress. He made the decision, it just isn't worth it. He had been part of a race where the quest to win superseded ethics, family, friendships, and even his own health. Finally, one day, God got through and he heard Paul's warning to Timothy that I believe many people in our congregation who want to rid ourselves of stress need to hear. People who rejoice in riches, rather than, I contrast with today's text, rejoice in the nearness of God, who rejoice in riches fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves through with many griefs. And if Paul were writing in today's vernacular, he would have said, pierce themselves through with stress. Now, keep in mind, this text is not against hard work or the desire to be successful or the enjoyment of lovely things. It's speaking specifically to you, and you know who you are, to those who suffer stress because they love things God gives more than they love God. That's the trap. They want God to be a vending machine to satisfy their wish list rather than God to be Lord of their possessions and they be stewards of what God has given. So what's the cure? Well, it's very obvious, and maybe it happens in worship services. We readjust our priorities. We possess without being possessed. We're content and rejoice in what we already have, godliness with contentment. And if we have any drive at all to get more, it's to get more so we can share. Now, just in case money isn't an issue in your life and you've settled back in the pew a little bit, I want to suggest some other potential catalysts for stress where the shoe might fit. Relationships, children, choosing a career, finding a job, keeping a job, marriage, getting older, fear of contracting illness, fear of becoming incapacitated, Believing the world and our personal future is spinning out of God's control. Doubting that Christianity holds the answer for the increasing chaos of our time. And you can make your own list. So the first wisdom in this text offered to help Christians cope with stress can be reduced to a choice. And I hope the Holy Spirit will just kind of galvanize this into our brains today. Either we rejoice that God is near and trust that His care is all the security we need, or we will make God nothing more than a divine dispenser for items on our want and wish list, like the young lady with the long list on her clothing. And that decision will inevitably multiply our stress. And God won't let us get by with it. Because let me tell you, brothers and sisters, God refuses to be used. He will not be our servant. He is God. And if the moment we try to manipulate Him, we're going to get into all kinds of trouble. So let the Holy Spirit kind of sink into your souls today and ask, do you love God? Or are you here trying to use God? Good question. A second piece of wisdom for coping with stress is the mandate to pray. Do you realize that prayer is our personal confession in a rugged, individualistic time when we don't like to say this? Prayer is our confession. We can't cope with life's challenges in our own strength. And therefore, we cast ourselves on God's mercy and love. Our text says, again, a commandment, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Do you realize this morning that God is really interested in the smallest details of your life? You know, one of the things that was taught in seminary, I think I've mentioned it before, and it's widespread today as I talk one-to-one with you, is this concept. God isn't interested in the tiny details of my life. How do I dare take something this tiny and mention it to God? Where did we ever get such an idea? Jesus taught us that God says a sparrow can't fall to the ground without our Father's knowledge and care. How much more is God, who is our Father, interested in every tiny detail of your life? And we're told in this text, commanded in this text, to take everything, every detail to God in prayer. I find that reassuring. He invites us to trust Him with our needs, our doubts, our fears, everything. I love the psalmist. I read the Psalms all the time. And he was a man who understood this. And this is what he wrote about taking things to God in prayer when he's in trouble. He says, the cords of death entangle me. Most of us have felt that at one point or another. I was overcome by sorrow and trouble, but then I called on the name of the Lord. Oh Lord, save me. Meaning, I can't save myself. And God heard my cry for mercy. And then this was the result. He said, be at rest, O my soul. For the Lord has been good to you. How can you ever experience that gift of God being good to you if you don't cry out with every detail of your life that's weighing you down? This last year, I've made progress in coping with personal stress, and that's why I decided to preach this sermon. If you've been here a long time, you know I've preached many times on this subject because it's been perhaps the greatest difficulty in my Christian life, namely trusting God. I'm a worrywart, always have been. But something changed this year, and I attribute it to a change in my prayer life, and specifically Thursday morning experiences there at 6:30. I came to terms with an ugly part of my relationship with God that maybe you can identify with. I finally admitted that most of my prayers and most of my affection for God were focused on convincing God to use His divine power to solve my problems my way. to give me what I want when I want it. And it reminded me of my relationship with my parents, and maybe that's the root of it, where I was taught at a very early age that if people love you, they're kind of there to give you what you want. But you know, I wasn't rejoicing in the nearness and adequacy of my God. I didn't even fully understand it, or I never would have been stressed. I was simply using my access to God as a Christian to meet my agenda. And of course I was suffering stress. I was stressed out that God wouldn't come through. I was stressed out that this is the only way my life can possibly make sense, and if God doesn't agree, it's all going to fall apart. Coming to this realization, confessing what I was doing, became a real turning point. And let me give you three specifics. God didn't have to deal with my children according to my plan. They're His children. I can really trust Him for His plan. God doesn't have to care for this church or hold us together or make every worship service a perfect one according to my design. I can give God back His church. He's the one who builds it. And then there was a real one in me, because I'm one who really likes fun in life. And I realized there's room in my life for fun without feeling the compulsion to carry the weight of this church 365 days a year. God has given me an incredible team that I'm using with confidence. You know them and love them. Well, to prove the difference, after Easter, I was away a week. For the first time in 18 years, I didn't call into the office even once. Now, you know, may not think that's a big victory. That's a huge victory for me, and it's wonderful, blessed relief for my staff. You know, I want to tell my story today, because I want God to write a new story of faith for you. And believe me, if this type A super achiever can do it, anybody can do it. I want you to write a story in which you will no longer demand that God respond to your prayers according to your plan and your timing. That you'll learn to cast in faith all your stress upon a very faithful God, confident His solution is better than yours, and He cares about you. Charlie Scanlon isn't here this service, but I'm going to tell a quick story because he gave it to the service last night. Charlie's been, he's our student pastor here. He came up here on a step of faith a year ago, had a house in San Diego, couldn't sell it. Housing market was awful. I told him, if you come, you know, God's going to take care of things. Well, God did. God gave him a renter. But the renter left. You can't rent houses down there hardly because there's so many on the market. Charlie was so stressed. They had had no takers, and he had envisions of selling both cars. He didn't know how he was going to make it. And last, it would have been Friday night. He was awake most of the night on his knees in the living room saying, God, the curtain's down. I've prayed. No renters. What's going on? They absolutely stressed out, while his wife had said, you know, honey, God's going to take care of it. His wife's just like my wife. You always live with somebody who has faith that makes you feel awful. Anyway, here he's all chewed up, and he gets a call Saturday morning from his realtor saying, we rented the house. It really happened 4 days ago. I didn't get around to calling you. And Charlie first said, you turkey. And then he realized God wanted him to sort of breathe in it for 4 days to learn to trust Him. Has anybody ever found God unfaithful about anything? Then why are you worried today? That's just a question. Which leads to a last point. There's a promise in our text. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You know, in our kind of world, our hearts and minds need constant guarding, or we're going to lose our peace. There's so much input from the world around us, beginning with the media, that can keep us stimulated and fear-filled and pessimistic all of the time. The psalmist describes the peace of possessing a non-anxious presence in the midst of tough times. He wrote, "When I said, 'My foot is slipping,' your love, O Lord, supported me. When anxiety was great within me, your consolations brought joy to my soul." So he gives us this wisdom. Cast your burden on the Lord and he will sustain you. When I'm afraid, I put my trust in you. The psalmist found peace in tough times because he chose to rejoice in the nearness of God rather than fall down and worship his own wish and want list. Isaiah wrote, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is focused, is stayed on thee rather than on our stressors." Don't you realize God knows what you need? You're his child. He loves you infinitely. He's in control. Nothing catches him by surprise. Nothing has touched you that has not already filtered through his hand. He's promised to take care of you. If you can believe it, today you can experience peace rather than stress. That's our heritage as Christians. So very specifically this morning, I want you to do something. I invite you to turn your stress over to God. Just give it to him. Ask him to fill your soul with his peace as you begin to rejoice, not in the fulfillment of everything you've wanted. Rejoice in the nearness of your God that you felt in this hour and understand he's there. Peace in your soul will become a treasure, helping you perform better in the midst of your stress. You'll make better decisions. You'll be free to love rather than become defensive and selfish, and you'll see alternative solutions not limited by human resources alone. Bottom line, this is an offer Jesus makes to us, and we neglect it at our peril. He said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you." In the world, you're gonna have tribulation. You will have stress. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I invite you to go out this week and really give witness to one of the practical treasures we as Christians have for following Jesus. Give witness to the fact that knowing Jesus Christ can enable you to live an abundant, rejoicing-oriented life in a stress-filled world. And that becomes a magnet to attract others to consider Jesus, because anybody would give anything today to get rid of stress. I hope you can give yours to the Lord this morning. And to his name be the glory. Amen.